Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Yes, amen. Did you know that the devil is only intimidated by Christianity and the cross and actually those that know who they are in Christ and know their authority? That's who's intimidated by. That's why he hates your guts. If you're on fire for God and you want the will of God to be done in your life and you want to go higher and higher and higher, he works to suppress that and hold that back. But tough, if you know who you are and you know your authority, then how many know you're forging forward and the devil, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you? This is exactly why we must know and understand what has been provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. In other words, what's legally ours, and then no one understands how to apply it to our lives. In other words, how we make that our experience. Amen. For knowing something and experiencing it are two different things. In other words, having money and never using it obviously are two different things. You know, I heard a story one time of a elderly gentleman who lived by himself. He lived in a two-room apartment. True story. And he passed away, and it was like a week or so when his neighbor never saw him. Finally knocked on the door. Nobody answered, so they called the authorities. They went in there, and he had been dead for a number of days. But here's the interesting thing, or the sad thing about this. This gentleman lived by himself, and he lived in a two-room apartment. That day when they took him out and they went a day later to move everything out there, they found thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars that he stored in his mattress that he hid. And he lived like a pauper when in all actuality he was very rich, but he never used it. And therefore, having to know, if you don't use even what you have, it doesn't do you any good. You say, well, why do you even say that to us, Pastor Chris? Because it can be the same for us. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 3, I'm going to quote it from another translation. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already blessed us in our union with Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. Amen. Praise God. And I want you to know that just because we've been left an inheritance doesn't mean we're enjoying it. We must know about it first and then learn to walk in it. And what coming to CFC is really about is really coming to the reading of the will and finding out the inheritance and its benefits and your faith in what God has said he has already provided for us in this inheritance is what enables you and I to spend it, to use it, and to experience it all. Amen. And this is also why we must understand what Jesus Christ did. Listen, you can't do what Jesus did, but he can't do what you're supposed to do. You and I are here in this earth today to make a difference. He's given us his power, his authority, and it all is a result of what he's did in his death, burial, and resurrection and provided victory for us over the devil. He did it to purchase our freedom. In other words, it's what redemption is and is provided for us. You know what redemption is and is provided for us? Listen, part of our inheritance, forgiveness, salvation, healing, deliverance, soundness of mind and body, and freedom in every area of our lives. This is what God has provided for us in his inheritance. But if we don't know it or don't ever use it, it don't do us any good. And so what I'm doing today is I'm letting you know what the will is. I'm reading you the will, what belongs to you, and God is expecting us to lay hold of it and believe it and walk it out. Bless God. And so one of those areas of freedom, everybody say freedom. One of those areas of freedom that we must learn to walk in and win over in life is temptation. is temptation. So today's message is going to be entitled Winning Over Temptation. We need to understand, listen, Satan's number one ministry against us is temptation. Is temptation. Let's put up the slide and define temptation in here today. Temptation is the solicitation to do evil or to sin. And that is Satan's number one ministry against you and I. We better know it. And we better know how to win over it. And that's what we're talking about today, winning over temptation. Just because you've been tempted don't mean you've sinned. Just because you're tempted don't mean you've done something wrong. It's when we engage or submit to the temptation that we fall. And God wants us to know how to win over it, because really he's already purchased the freedom for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation and redemption is provided the freedom, but we must understand that and learn how to walk in it. And we must understand if temptation is a solicitation to do evil or to sin, we must understand if Satan, that is his number one ministry against us, then we better know how to win over it, and we can. So listen to me, church, and here today, think about it. This was true with Adam and Eve, with the angels that fell and left their first estate. It was true with David. It was true with Peter, Judas, and it'll be true with you and I. And think about it. It was true with Jesus. In other words, Satan's number one ministry was to come with temptation. And we're going to begin with Adam and Eve, and we're going to end with Jesus in just one moment. I've condensed this message for time's sake today, so stay tuned. I'm talking fast, and you're listening good. Praise the Lord. But today, we'll begin with Adam and Eve, and we talk about, because there's no such thing as a human being been on this earth that won't ever face temptation. But once again, just being tempted isn't sin. It's what we do with it, that either if we yield to it, it will become sin. If we learn how to resist it and overcome it, which I'm teaching you how to do that, then we'll have the victory over it. And we'll have the number one thing Satan uses against us, we'll win over him in it. Amen. So today, let's talk about Adam and Eve briefly and man's original sin to see how Satan actually works against us. How many know he is not a creator? He's a counterfeiter. And I want you to know that he has nothing new, but he's been doing pretty good at deceiving mankind for 6,000 years. And it's because man has not known, and then not acting on what he's known, that they continue to fall. You and I will fall if we don't know the truth or we don't act on the truth. And so today, I'm teaching us what the truth is as concerning temptation and how to win over it. Because all of us will be solicited by the devil to do evil and to sin. So get it straight. He hates your guts. But the truth is, God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. But we need to know what our inheritance is and how to walk in it. So let's look at Adam and Eve from the very beginning and see what happened there. Notice that Satan in the garden did come to Adam and Eve as an elephant. He just didn't come. Why do you say as an elephant? He didn't come into the garden, possess an elephant, and then just try to overpower them. You know why he didn't do that? You know why? Because Adam and Eve had dominion over all of those animals. That's why he didn't use something big to try to overpower them, because they had dominion over that. So he came and he used something different. The most subtle, crafty of all beasts, the serpent. He came subtly, the scripture says, craftily and deceptively. He'll do the same with us. And he used suggestions, deceit, wiles, and lies about and against God to Adam and Eve to make them question and ultimately disobey God. And instead of obeying God, disobeying God, and then believing and yielding to and obeying Satan, and therefore the fall. Now, we know that. We could spend much more time on this, but just track with me for time's sake. Here is something that we need to understand. The strategy of Satan isn't different. It is, that strategy and of the demonic kingdom is to captivate us. Now, let's define captivate, because this
tells us a whole lot. It means to attract or to hold the interest and attention to. Everybody say to attract. That means if temptation becomes attractive, you can become the victim of the enemy. Notice Satan tempts us with things that we are attracted to. Get it straight. Learn it. Write it in your Bible. Understand this, church. If dope and drugs you're not attracted to, you can't be tempted with that. I've never been tempted to smoke marijuana, to do drugs. You know why? Because I'm not attracted to it. But there's plenty of people are. My goodness. There's plenty of people that are. We walk through different places. I don't know if you notice it or not. And I'm telling you, we always are praying against it. That we would overturn it here in Virginia about the laws of marijuana. Everywhere we go, we walk through. Matter of fact, the other day we were in a place of business. And a lady turned around. And we walked through a fog in a business. We walked through a fog of marijuana. And the lady comes down the aisle. She says, "Oh, what did she say? Oh man, she looked at me and she could see me going like this. And she says, "Oh man, they done dropped a bomb in here on that." That's why we should pray about those things. Amen. See, this whole world has something that they're attracted to, and the devil uses things that you're attracted to tempt you, and in other words, to cause you to sin. If it's not an attraction, you see, you could put $1 million in here, and I'm not tempted to steal that. That's not a temptation to me. Now, if you want to give it to me, I know how to spend it. Tithe first, and then spend it. Praise the Lord. But that's not a temptation to me. But the point is, we all have things that would be a temptation. He works. Listen, Satan. Satan and his kingdom work, his work is to captivate us. That means if temptation becomes attractive, then you and I can become the victim of the enemy. So let's give an example. We're talking about Adam and Eve. Satan first said to the woman Eve in Genesis 3:1, he said, "Have God said?" Very first thing Satan is always going to do with you and I is question God's word and his integrity. If you ain't figured this out yet, Satan is always going to question God's word and his integrity. Or should you obey the word of God? Come on. So get it straight. Now I'm doing this fast. And then in verse 4, he said, "You shall not surely die." In other words, Eve told him and says, "You know, if we eat of the tree, we're going to die." And I'm paraphrasing it. And Satan, or the serpent, said to her, "You shall not surely die." And then verse 5, he says, "And when you eat, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice that what the serpent did, or what Satan actually did, was let her think that God is withholding from you. Withholding from them. He'll do the same to you. And then the truth is, they were already the rulers of this world. He tempted them to make them think God is not only withholding something from you, but you're going to be as gods. That meant rulers of this world. They already were. The point is, when you don't know who you are, you can be deceived. If you don't take God at his word in everything, you will be deceived. So we must understand this. Notice how verse 6, it says, the woman saw. Everybody say saw. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant. Everybody say pleasant. To the eyes, and the tree to be desired. Everybody say desired, to make one wise. She took and then gave it to him, and he ate. This is why I said if temptation becomes attractive, you become a victim of the enemy. Because she used the things that she saw was pleasant or desired. Attractive. That tree was attractive to her. Where it was spelled out to her by and emphasized. It looked at it different than what God said to look at it. And that's what the devil always would do to us. He'll make us, you know, we'll see the word, "Well, you know, by Jesus' stripes you're healed." Well, that doesn't really mean physical healing. Oh, God wants you free. Pastor talked about God was free. Well, that means in heaven you'll be free. No fooey on that. This scripture talks about physical healing and wholeness and freedom in this life, not just in heaven. You don't need freedom in heaven, honey. You need it here. And that's what Jesus died to provide. He always gets us. The devil comes to tempt us and make us make what he's saying more attractive. And he's always going to try to tempt us with our attraction or make something attractive that he can lure us into and take that over God's word. We only fall in temptation when we are attracted to something. This is why Hebrews 11, 15, and 16 said it like this. And truly, if they had been mindful, everybody say mindful. If they had been mindful, this is talking about the patriarchs of old, like Abraham and the different ones that are in the Hall of Fame of Faith. He said, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out of, they may have had the opportunity to have returned. Verse 16 says, but now they desire. Does everybody say a desire? That means they're attracted to a better country. In other words, that is a heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called that God, for he had prepared a city for them. They had a desire for a heavenly city. They had a desire, not just something in the natural, but something that God had prepared for them that they knew they would possess. They might not even have it all in this life, but there was a land that belonged to them and the place that mirrored what God would do one day for them, and they had a desire for that over than what was in this world. And that's what we have to have. We have to be attracted to the things of God, because if we're not, then the devil is going to try to get us attracted to things here so he can tempt us with us. This is why the scripture also talks about this very thing, that the Hebrew children, they wanted to return to Egypt. You know, they're always complaining to Moses. Oh, Moses, you brought us out here in this wilderness to starve, thirst to death and to starve, and all of our animals and our children died. They complained against God and they complained against Moses. And they said, oh, would to God. Listen, would to God we were back in Egypt again in slavery. Would to God we're back in Egypt again in slavery. Well, we remember when we ate the cucumbers, the melons and the leeks, and we ate this. We had something to eat. And see, they were attracted, even though they were in bondage, they were attracted back to the... See, this is why people, you wonder why people return to the bottle, return to this and return to that, because they're attracted by the devil, even though it brings them in bondage. That's the attraction that the enemy uses, even though it's returned into bondage, that the temptation is so strong. It looks like the answer. It looked like the answer because it's going to satisfy them not being hungry in the wilderness anymore, but they're back in slavery doing it. And sometimes, you know, people return to all these things because I'm getting out of my problems. I'm covering up my problems and the things I don't like by doing this and doing that. That's the attraction. In the old time, we just return right back to slavery and to bondage. We forget about that because the temptation is so strong. I'm telling you today, if the devil can't use it as an attraction to you, you've got to have to learn to be attracted to the things of God and how that will swallow up every temptation of the enemy. And I'm teaching you how to do it today. But I'm giving you examples to begin with so that we know what to do. Satan works against us with what's attractive to us to get us to give into it and to sin. Maybe one of the best examples of this is in the New Testament in James chapter 1, verses 12 through verse 16. Let's look here. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Look at your neighbor and said, I call you blessed. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Now listen here. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted, here it is, when he's drawn away of his own attraction, lust, and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finish, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So in other words, don't be fooled about this. The devil will use the things that he can track you on to get you sin against God. That's what the scripture is saying. And then in verse 17, which we won't look at, God is reminding us every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. See, Satan will always make you think he's got something better. And he will attract you on things that you've stumbled with before. But he also make you think that God is holding out on you, or God is not good, or God has forgotten you, or God blesses everybody else. He'll lie to you about God. This is why I said, do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. I'm telling you, God has good things for you, and he has power over, and he's given you and I as believers power over all the power of the enemy. Satan will not only lie to us about God and his goodness, but he uses what we can be attracted to in our flesh as temptation to sin against God. And so now, since we know how Satan works, let's look at what Jesus did to win over temptation and what that means for us. Because Jesus is an example. Amen. And the scripture says, write it down, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says that Jesus was tempted at all points like we, yet he did not sin. And although he was the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. In other words, he was 100% God, yet he was 100% man. Meaning, he had no unfair advantage. He didn't operate as God. He operated as a man, anointed by the Spirit of God, and showed us how to live and walk before God so we could have the same victory he died to provide for us. So Satan would have to use against Jesus the same thing he would use against us. He would have to use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and his temptation against Jesus, just like he does to us. But we find the two keys to Jesus' victory over temptation were this. Number one, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then number two, being tempted by Satan, Jesus always immediately responded to Satan with the Word of God. He said, it is written, or it is said, and thereby defeating Satan. And you're going to have to be the same. So in other words, Jesus gave us the example. This is why it's so important that we are filled with the Holy Ghost. This is why we're not just filled, but we'd be being filled. This is why it's so important that we know the Word of God, not know about the Word of God, but we know the Word of God itself, so we know how to resist the enemy. We say, it is written. It is written, and the enemy bows to the Word of God. Jesus did what you and I have to do. He gave us an example. He did what you and I have to do. And that's found in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, submitting yourself is always putting yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And you got to know it in order to put yourself under the authority of it. In other words, not only are you under the authority of it, but you operate from that place. In other words, the Word is the final authority in your life. Hallelujah. And submitting yourself to God means that what God says you need, you need. And that means you're needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is an example. If he was filled with the Holy Spirit and needed to be, how much more do we? Come on. Oh, well, we just can take it and leave it. People may think I'm weird because I pray in tongues, because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No, it didn't say that you receive weirdness when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It says you should receive power, and that's why the devil is trying to lie to you and get you off of that and tell you all the other stuff that your unbelieving friends in a lost and dying world would try to talk you out of it. So you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Ghost and put yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And then that's submitting yourself unto God. And this is what we have to do. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He didn't say he might, but he will. He'll flee. And he does that when we use the Word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is the sword that the Holy Ghost wheels against the devil. And the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you with the Word of God to take, to apply it against the enemy of your life, Satan, the enemy of your soul. Hallelujah. So this is why we must know the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth, and use it against the devil and all temptation. The truth is our greatest weapon against the enemy, because if the enemy can't deceive you, the enemy can't defeat you. Come on. You need to write that down. Say it every day. Oh, the devil can't deceive me. He can't defeat me. Hallelujah. Glory to be to God. And also remember this, that Ephesians 6:10, what does it say? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See, this incorporates these two principles that Jesus walked in. Be strong in the Lord. Well, how do you be strong in the Lord? Well, one way you is, strong in the Lord means to be strong in the Word. You need to be strong in the Word. Know what the Word is and use the Word against the enemy and in the power of His might. Well, what's the power of His might? The Holy Spirit. So it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that work together to produce our victory and our winning over temptation. And listen to me, this is why the Word and the Spirit better become attractive to us. This is why it better become attractive to us. Because you know why too many people fall? Because this and the Holy Spirit, this Word, and the Spirit of God isn't more attractive than the other things that's coming against them. So, listen, we got to fall in love with this. We got to fall in love with God's Word. We got to fall in love with the Holy Spirit. We understand that God has given us to this not only to win, but we have this. If this is what we're attracted to, then I can just tell you right now, all the other things that the devil will come to try to attract us with, the things that used to trip us up or the things, some new thing he tries to do or something, we'll just say, nope, where does that line up with the Word of God? Here's the Word and here's the Spirit. All this is down here somewhere. Say, nope, not today, devil. Get behind me in Jesus' name. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen in here today. It's important. We must find truth from Genesis to Revelation and live there as vessels of honor. See, that's the problem. We're trying to live some other way. Well, you and I are called to live as vessels of honor before God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your body, which is God's. It belongs to you. Your spirit and your body belongs to God. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belongs to God. You and I are to be vessels of honor. And we can be, because God says He makes us this way. That means we must love God and love His truth. Now, I'm going to emphasize these things for a moment, because this is what we have to do. Or, listen, this is how we went over temptation. It's more to it than just saying, get behind me, Satan. See, Jesus lived as a vessel of honor. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He knew the Word of God. And if He could, we can. God didn't make it hard. You say, well, I just don't like that. That means, are you telling me I have to spend some time in the Word? Yeah. Are you telling me I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Are you telling me that I'm supposed to be a vessel of honor? I see myself as a nobody. Well, God sees you as a somebody, honey. Wake up. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, somebody. Praise the Lord. You're a child of God, a vessel of honor. That's who God's made. This means we must love God and love truth. John 14:15 says it like this. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm talking about a vessel of honor right now. John 14:21, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments, that means knows my commandments and keeps them or obeys them, he it is that loveth me. You want to know who loved God? It's those that has God's word and keeps them. God defined that. I didn't. See, we all come up, we loving the Lord. I'm loving the Lord. I'm loving the Lord. Are we really? We are if we know His word and we're keeping it. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to water it down, obviously, today. Praise the Lord. I never do. But this is it. This is it. This is how we win. You don't win halfway. You don't win by just being passive or just hoping it's going to happen. Nobody in the sports arena shows up and just say, "Oh, this team is we're just gonna win. We ain't got to practice. We ain't got to do nothing. We don't even have to know the plays. We're so talented. We're so hot. We're so great. We can just go out there and do our own thing." They're pretty foolish if they do. No, we don't. This is why we must know. We must know and keep His word. He defines who loves Him. See, God, it's wonderful that we say, "God, we love You, we love You, we love You." But God says, "I'm going to show you who really loves Me. He has My word, knows it, and keeps it. That's who loves Me." Psalms 97 verse 10 says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." He that loved the Lord hate evil. He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. How many know that includes temptation? Come on. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Well, Pastor, I just think we're supposed to love everybody. You're supposed to love everybody, but you don't love the evil they do. And you don't just pansy mamsy around and say, "Well, you know, we can't say nothing," because no, if you love a person, you tell them they're headed in the wrong direction. I'm only saying this not to be mean, not to be evil, to say you're missing out on what God has for you, and you couldn't miss out on heaven. But you are most definitely missing out on the blessings that God has for you. And the good news is, wake up, shake yourself off, learn to do it God's way, and you'll be glad for it. If you love the Lord, hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is or means to hate evil. Here it is. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what God says. This is God's word. Yes, God hates things. He hates evil. He hates wickedness. Why? Because it destroys people's relationship with God and destroys their life and send them to hell. He hates it. And we should too. The Passion Translation says, "Wisdom," Proverbs 8:13, "wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every evil form," when you hate every form of evil in your life. Let me say that again. Wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life. For that is what worship and fearing the God is all about. Woo! Glory be to God. See, Jesus lived as a vessel of honor. We don't have a problem with that, but we have a problem thinking we have to. But we do. And we are too. We're to live that way. But it has great benefits. It has power over all the power of the devil. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. See, it's not your righteousness that you're walking in. It's His righteousness. See, the devil don't care whether you think you're something or not. But he knows when you know who you are in Christ. That's what he hates. And that's why he hates Christianity. That's why he hates believers that know who they are in Christ and their authority. Listen, he don't care if you're some other religion, because all those leaders are dead. They're evil spirits and demons, and he don't care. He's got them under control, but he ain't got you and I under control. Not unless we submit to him and don't know the power and authority that we have. And Jesus is living as a vessel of honor. Here's what it said about him in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. I'm almost finished. Wake up your neighbor and say, "Wake up now. The grand conclusion is coming." Praise the Lord. Hebrews 1:9 tells us that Jesus loved righteousness and hated evil or iniquity. That's what God calls sin. Therefore, God hath anointed him with the oil of gladness. That's the Holy Ghost above all others. Why was Jesus anointed with the oil of gladness above all others, the Holy Ghost? Because he loved righteousness and hated evil. Woo, glory to God. I say glory to God. You want to be anointed? You want to walk in the power of God? You want to be a vessel of honor? This is how we're to walk. It means that we can't compromise. I'm not talking about being nasty to people. I'm talking about telling them the truth and not backing down and understanding what's important. Well, Pastor Chris, you know we got to be politically correct in these days. No, we don't. Jesus didn't apologize. He just told people like it was. Matter of fact, he had more problems. Jesus didn't have the problem with the world. He had the problem with the religious folk. He turned to them and said, "You are your father, the devil." John the Baptist said, "Oh, you brood of vipers! Who warned you about the wrath to come?" That today we'll have it on both sides, because the truth is, there's people in this evil world today that will make you feel like you're less than, or that you're evil for calling out their darkness. But they don't play by the same rules. As a matter of fact, they are what they accuse you of being. They accuse you of being bigoted and partial and all this and biased and everything. But the truth is, they are what they accuse you to be. Never are you wrong by saying what the Word of God says. And this is how Jesus won over temptation every time, and how we will also. Let's close with this slide in here, right here. Four things. How to win over temptation. Number one, become a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, it says it like this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure and has this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. The Lord knows. But I'm His, Pastor Chris. The Lord knows who's His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Depart from evil. That's what it says that we should. That doesn't mean we don't miss it from time to time. It means that when we miss it, we get it right and we walk away from it. We walk out. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Here's what he says. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And then he goes on to say, here's what we're going to do. Flee youthful lust. Flee it. Run from it. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with all them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me turn here one moment. Let's put up that verse 21. I got to get there in my Bible. Praise the Lord. What we're looking at? 2:21. Is that right? 2:21. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So he said, if any man purge himself from these, what? From these? From these contaminating things that the verse talks about before, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. You got to get the contaminating things out of your life. You to be vessels of not in wood and that. You to be a vessel of gold and silver. I know that's what God, and if we rid ourselves of things that contaminate us, then we'll be vessels of honor. Number one, become a vessel of honor. That's how you and I are going to win over it. Because if we live in righteously, then we can stand before the enemy with a heart pure and say, get behind me. You know why the reason why a lot of people don't have that confidence is because the devil's always messing with them with sin. And they don't have confidence before God, but you can. You can have confidence before God because God designed you to be a vessel of honor. And just because you tripped up one time don't mean you're defeated. It means you repent, get it right, and then learn how to walk in this. Number two, knowing and loving the truth. That's what you need to be attracted to. This is who God and what His word truth that you'll be attracted to above all else. And then you will have power over temptation. If we're attracted to the word and the spirit more than we are to everything else, then that will be, that doesn't mean that we don't live a normal life. That doesn't mean that there's things that we can't do. It just means that things that the devil would try to get us to trip up in and sin, we understand. No. We got the Word and we got the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us the difference between righteousness and sin, and the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us and say, no, don't do that, because the enemy's got a plan down here trying to take you in this way. So we got to know and love the truth. Come on. Know and loving the truth. Number three, we got to hate evil. Remember? Beginning of wisdom. The love of the Lord. Loving God, fearing God is to hate evil. Amen. You got to have a hate for evil. Call it what it is. If the Bible calls it sin, call it evil. Call it what it is. Well, Pastor Chris, I've just got this. I got this problem. We put addictions on it. We put all that. Call it sin. The way you overcome it is not by calling it what the world calls it. Call it what God calls it and say, God, I repent of my sin. Well, I got this problem. It's a sin that Jesus died to pay the price for and for you to have the victory over. Don't be condemned with the devil and stay in it and pacify it. Well, just act like, everybody does it. No, they don't. Everybody don't do it. I ain't doing it. Everybody ain't doing it. And you don't have to. Don't fall for the lie of the devil. Well, I'm too new in the Lord. I just don't know enough. You know enough to say no to the devil, don't you? Come on. You know enough to shut the door if a copperhead was coming into your house and the door was open. You had enough sense to shut the door, didn't you? Then you never shut the door on the devil. You can do it. Well, I just don't know. I don't feel like it. I can just tell you right now, you might not feel like shutting the door on the snake too, but you got up and did it. I mean, you might have scampered around and said, oh, I don't want him to bite me, but you did everything you could. Come on. Where's the hoe? Where's the shotgun? The only good snake is a dead one. Can I get an amen in here? Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I know I'll get some hate mail on that. Now listen, all you people out there, and leave me some comments, not about that, but say hi, amen, praise God. Want you to know we love you online. Church online is worth your time. Praise the Lord. We love you. Call you blessed. Hate evil, number four, last but not least, being and staying filled with the Spirit. Listen, I cannot overestimate the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why aren't you? If you're born again, the only prerequisite of being filled with the Holy Spirit, like they were in the Acts, in the Acts chapter 2, is this, that they were born again and they had a desire. That was it. You got to be attracted to the things that, and you are and should be attracted to the things that will help you. But see, the devil is trying to convince people, well, what if you don't receive? Or, you really don't need this. You can do it your way. You've been doing it your way long enough and it ain't working. Come on, God wants you victorious. God wants you walking the victory. So why aren't we filled? Why aren't we taking the time to do what's important? We spend hours and hours in front of screens when you could read the word in front of a screen. But the point is, you need to spend hours and hours in that word. Get it in your heart that you might not. The psalmist said, I've hid the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because it's the word that renews your mind, that you put in your heart, that your mind is renewed by, that transforms your life. And that's why I said you need to know truth from Genesis to Revelation, so that no matter whatever the enemy comes, you use against him. And then this is why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the power from heaven that Jesus used to resist and to overcome the enemy with. It says he left out in the power of the Spirit, and then he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He came out smelling like a rose because he knew the word, resisted with the word in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, that's what you and I are going to have to do as well. So who in here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, who in here today would say, I'm born again, I'm on my way to heaven,